Are you ready to advance your career, hone your skills, or explore new vocational paths without spending thousands of dollars to further your education? Skillfeed.com features over 65,000 video tutorials to keep your creative and technical skills current. Choose from long courses or short tutorials called Skill Snacks, featuring courses on business, web development, education, finance, leadership, photography, and more. Get your 30-day free trial now. Log on to skillfeed.com/radio. That's skillfeed.com/radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, once again, brothers and sisters, and we welcome you this evening to the PRF table. I'm your host, Minister Dunlap, and we have with us our co-host, Brother Warren Feaster, Sister Sanders. How are y'all doing this evening?
Doing good.
I'm doing fabulous.
Very good, very good. Tonight, we just got a real good show for you tonight. For those who have been listening to us, we thank you, our faithful listeners who jump on with us every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We truly appreciate it, Brother Sanders. We had about 800 listeners last week. That's like almost a record. So I'm really, really proud about that, what we're saying, what God is saying through us. We know it's touching the hearts of individuals that's out there listening to us and spending their time with us on this evening. So we're real grateful for that. We don't take it for granted, and we just want to say thank you to all of the listeners. So, for those who are new to the show, we always just want to give you a brief introduction of what we're here for and what we're doing. And the question that I always pose to everybody is, why do we want the need for this type of conversation? The name of the show is the PRF Table, and PRF stands for Possessions, Resources, and Finances. And the response that we always give is, look around where you eat, look around where you eat, play, work, and sleep. What are the challenges that you see? What is it that you hear? What are people fighting over and fighting about? And I think, and we all think here at the PRF table, the PRF family, that many of you will agree that, you know, we got to have constructive and respectable and honest conversations about PRF, Possession, Resource, and Finances, because it's needed in our communities, our churches, our religious organizations, even more so within our own families and communities. So, from these conversations, what our goal is and what we think that and believe that God wants us to do is just to help try to push people along, move the dialogue to successful practical application with a purpose. So what we want to do is just begin our time together with a spirit of fellowship, unity, and liberation. Now, we always say at the PRF table that everybody has a seat at this table. It doesn't matter whether you're Jew, Gentile, black, white, rich, poor, saved, unsaved, Christian, Muslim. Everybody has a seat at the table, and that's probably one of the problems, Sister Sanders, Brother Feaster. Not a lot of times we are open enough as individuals, regardless of what our background is, to be able to sit out at the table and have a conversation with somebody and not try to impose our views, try to propose our views on somebody, try to give just what our point of view and not listen to the other. That doesn't make for effective communication, and it doesn't make for effective living with one another in community. So, for those that are listening for the first time, just sit back, listen to whatever God is saying to you, listen to what ourselves, Brother Feaster, Sister Sanders, what we're proposing this evening, and we have a special guest with us. So let me just take a time out to welcome our special guest. And this brother right here, I love him dearly. He's family. He's my brother. He's my cousin. This brother, Brother Saeed Abdul Kabir, did I say it correctly?
Yes, you did, sir. Thank you.
I try. And I always tell him, I say, hey, brother, whenever I'm doing something or saying something, it's not from the head or it's not from the heart, it's just from the head. So just get me straight, and he does it with love. This brother is all the way from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And the way we say it up north, we just call it Philly, right?
Yep, absolutely.
It's just Philly. So a lot of times I'm in different places, and people say, where are you from? And I say Philly. You know, sometimes because I live in the South, they think I'm talking about Philadelphia, Mississippi, and I really don't like to get that confused. I'm proud of where I'm from. So we thank you, Brother Saeed, for taking your time to come and sit with us at the table. This is his first time, ladies and gentlemen, sitting with us at the PRF table, but it's not his first time to the Blog Talk Radio Network. Last year when I was co-hosting with Freedom Radio with Kimberly Skeen, one of the shows that I hosted, and as a matter of fact, it was on July 3rd, was Living with Diversity. And this brother came on, and he tore it out, and we had some of the highest ratings that we ever had. So, Brother Saeed, just sit back, and we're just going to let it flow because, you know, once we start talking, it's hard to shut us up. let me say this before I go into the show, before we just go ahead and hit the ground running. If you want to join into the conversation, we ask that you just press 1 on your dial pad. If you press 1 on your dial pad, I'll see you light up on the switchboard, and we'll bring you into the conversation at the possible next possible moment or opportunity. This is not about everything that we have. It's about what you as the listeners have as well. So join in. And also, we have a Facebook page. It's called possessions.resources.finances. Right now on the Facebook page, you'll see a post that we just posted a couple of minutes ago saying we're going live in 5 minutes. Please join us for Diversity of Stewardship. If you comment under that particular link, that will give us a streaming flow of conversation, and it will be referred back to the Facebook page during the time of the show to see what your comments are, because we understand and respect that individuals do not always like to get live on the air and speak out loud. So we have all these different mediums for you to be able to communicate with us. So with that being said, everybody, let's just get it started. What we have is we're dealing with the conversation tonight, ladies and gentlemen, and we're dealing with stewardship. And we had started in the month of January talking about needs versus wants. And we talked about those, we talked about that for a couple of shows. And then in February, the first couple of shows, we dealt with stewardship. And we really dealt with attitudes of stewardship. And then we were going to go to responsibilities of stewardship for this show. And a couple of days ago, I saw Brother Saeed online, and it was just a guy quickening my spirit saying, no, we need to get Saeed on the show. And I asked him, I extended the invitation, and he was gracious to say yes without any hesitation. So what we want to do is we're going to talk about diversities of stewardship. And before we do that, what I like to do is just, Brother Saeed, if you'll just give us a little bit about your background, you know, educationally, so the people that are listening can just get a short feel for who you are, and I can catch my breath. Amen.
Well, first I want to thank you and your co-host for giving me the opportunity to speak. Truly, God gives us opportunities to come together in many ways, and I never shy down on the opportunity to talk with my family as well as my fellow people just about things in general. I think if we don't come together and have honest dialogue, like you said, We leave a lot at the door, and we need to bring that inside. We really need to bring it inside and talk. So I'm glad I get the opportunity to do that. Personally, I work for Drexel University. My background is in business and education. I have an MBA. I'm finishing up a second master's now in higher education. I've taught now for well over, I guess, 10, 15 years. I've taught everything from religious studies through history, through continuing education for adults, which I do now, and I develop programs to help people succeed, particularly at the higher education level. So, I mean, that's in gist of what I, you know, who I am in my background. I've been a practicing Muslim now for over 20 years. As you know, since we've grown up together, I came from a Christian family, and I'm still heavily involved with everyone both on both sides of the religious aisle, as we like to say. And I enjoy the opportunity to come together and continue to have these dialogues, as I said earlier, and I'm very pleased to be able to be invited back again.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you. Brothers. Sister Sanders, did y'all have any comments that y'all wanted to open up? Was there anything, you know, a lot of times when we end our shows, we're really not done. Really where we are when we end the show is just having to get off the air because of time restraints. So is there anything that you wanted to bring to this show that we left off from last show or that you just wanted to bring to light just to spark something back in our listeners from last week?
Well, I was. This is Adia. I was really encouraged and just kind of driven with the gentleman that was talking about pretty much starting a revolution, talking about the hunger. And when I was in Columbia Fort Jackson on last week, as I was getting preparing to go, I had a couple of items of food in my freezer. And I was like, you know what, God? I said, I could take this back with me because there's some really good vegetables that I would, you know, like to eat. But I was like, you know what? I said, I'm not going to do that. I said, somebody else probably can be blessed by this. And so I talked to the lady that that was the housekeeper. I said, do you know anybody that needs some food? I said, I want to be a blessing to them. And she said, I'll take it for you. And I was just like, wow, you know. And it was just like on my heart to give her some money. So I went to the ATM machine, got some money, and gave it to her. And, I mean, just the joy that not just that was the expression of joy that was on her face, but in her voice, it just warmed my heart. And I was just like, you know, we can really start a revolution. It can start with one person. And until we begin to affect many people, thousands, hundreds and thousands of people. But it just takes us starting. So I just want to say thank you to the gentleman that spoke on last week. My heart was just really encouraged and just really just motivated and inspired to do something. And so that's something that I really plan on doing every opportunity that I get to be a blessing to somebody else, no matter how great or small I think it is. I don't know what that impact can be on somebody else.
That's right. That's right. Thank you. Thank you. Brother Feaster?
I've been really going over a lot of things that we talked about last week. And it's interesting because when what we talked about, what we started and how we started and how we ended were totally different. I've been dealing with stewardship since my father in the ministry taught me years ago, and some of the things that we talked about last week, which is eye opening. I'm glad we ended the way we ended, to where we were focused more on what we can do as opposed to what we're not doing, and to make the change that we're all looking to make. And I'm excited and hoping that, you know, that was well received by everyone. If not, obviously, it was received by Sister Sanders and myself. But that's the thing that I'm still reminiscing over, just going over on that and just looking at, you know, where can I make the change? And I think a lot of times we're looking at so big of changes. You know, I think they say it's like a 12% homelessness in Fayetteville. So our mindset is to, what can we do to the 12%? Well, you may not be able to do nothing to the 12% or the whole 12%, but you can see that one person. Like, I was walking through the Walmart parking lot, and the lady needed something to eat. So I took her to the store and got her something to eat. So I can't affect the 12%, but I can affect that one person. And I think that was very important to look at, that sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees. Well, let's pay attention to the trees that we see and deal with the trees that we see. So that was really eye-opening and very, very memorable to me.
Wow. Well, Brother Saeed, let's get into it. Thank you, Sister Sanders and Brother Feaster. Saeed, let me tell you, you know, as I was saying yesterday or the day before we were talking, you know, I don't know about the listeners, but, you know, everybody should know by now. If you don't know, I'm a minister. I'm also Christian. So, everybody understands that diversity is very, very big to me, because I just truly believe that the Bible does not speak about just total exclusion. You can't love somebody and not want to be around them. You can't love somebody and not want to help them. And you know, this is still February of the year, which means it's Black History Month. So there's some injustices that have occurred in our history as Black people. And I'm going to say as Black people in our history, meaning for those who are Black that are listening, because this is not a Black-white show. I want to put that out there. And with that being said, you know, we have to be the type of people that are willing to be able to communicate effectively with one another. And, you know, it's always amazing to me, Saeed, that when you've been oppressed, oftentimes the person who has been oppressed becomes the oppressor, filling a gap of doing some of the same thing that's been done to them or to us. So for me, I'm really at this point in my life that, you know, it's not just about me always having communication with a Christian. It's not about me always trying to get somebody to give them a word. You know, let that come natural. You know, I tell people all the time, as a Christian, Jesus commanded us to love one another. So let me just show the love of Christ just by my actions, by what I say. That's how somebody's going to see why I say that I am what I call a Christian. So when we started talking about stewardship, I realized and understand that when we were talking last week, we talked about from Genesis 2. That was pretty much the only biblical text that we actually came from. And we were talking about Adam and Eve and how from that text, Adam was put on this earth by God to be a steward over part of the Garden of Eden. And when we were talking about it, as you and I were talking the other day, I said, you know, I think it would be really interesting for us to get a different perspective. And me and Brother Feaster had some conversations. So from this point, let's just start it off here. Is there any references that you can give us as listeners from your tradition that actually dealt with stewardship or deal with stewardship? And I'm taking note, brother. I have a Quran, and you told me how to use it, and I have not used it yet. So I am going to take your words from the last show. And for those who don't know what we're talking about, July 3rd of 2012 was the show that we'll be able to get that information. But what are some texts or what are some things or that guide you as a Muslim in regards to stewardship?
I think that, first and always say, in the name of God, most gracious, most merciful, I say this from my own understanding and my best intentions to give the most honest and open answers. And I say that because I always like to lead off. And every Muslim believes that we are, as humans, we are fallible. And so we're not perfect. So our opinions and our answers and our expressions are not always received as we intend them, or they're not always presented in the way that we hope for. So first I say that anything I say, that you all understand, it comes from my own shortcomings and with the best intentions. And I ask God to forgive me for anything I say that's out of place or wrong or hurtful. And I ask him to bless everything I say, that it is received as I hope them to be, and a blessing to everyone who's listening.
Wow.
I say there's so many. When you asked me to talk about stewardship, of course, you know, I had to go and look. And, you know, me, as you know of me, I like to make sure I research and go forward. And there were so many different things that came out and so many places I wanted to start. But I'm going to say that I'll start with one that if this is ayat, and ayat's meaning the surah is the chapter in the Quran, which is six, chapter six, and the ayat, which is the verse, is 141. And I'm going to say it in English just so for the sake of our listeners, as well as I don't want to make any mistakes as I recite it, if I recite it in Arabic. But in English, it's loosely translated as, it is he who produced the gardens with trellis and without and without dates, and tilt the produce of all kinds, and olives and pomegranates, similar in kind and different and varied. Eat of their fruits in their seasons, but render the dues that are proper on the day that the harvest is gathered. But waste not by excess, for God loveth not those who waste. And we as Muslims understand that man was put on this earth as Khalifa, and Khalifa is being is an Arabic word for someone who has been put a trust, someone who is held responsible for this earth, responsible for each other, responsible for our actions and our deeds as it relates to making sure we take care of the blessings for which God has given us, and that is this earth, that is our life, that's our brotherhood, our families, our children, you know, each other. And it is part of our root belief that there is, and I'm going to use this term only because we hear it in more of a political perspective, but there's no separation of church and state in Islam and for Muslims. Every action that we do has to be thought of in a form of worship. Every action that we partake upon is in a form of worship. So our eating, our living, our breathing, the way we spend our money, the way we treat each other, all should be taken in an act of worship, because we own nothing on this earth. Everything belongs to God, and we are just here as a watcher over what He has given us as a blessing. And it's funny because I just read a verse, and it was talking about, and I'll see if I can find it again, that the word amana is a trust. And there's a verse in the Quran that says, God offered the trust to the heavens, to the earth, to the mountains, and to the rest of creation, but they all refused. Only mankind was foolish enough to accept it. Mm. And that is to say that, you know, this trust that we've been given as human beings, as mankind, is something that we have to realize that it is something that goes beyond just, you know, the lip service of saying that we're going to, you know, we're going to try to be good, or we're going to give, you know, charity, or we're going to look out for each other. But it goes beyond that. We have to realize that it is part of our initial creation was to worship God, and one of the best ways of worshiping is, what do we do with this trust that He's given us? What does He do with this trust? What do we do with the trust of our friendship, the trust of our family, of our wealth? Because as a Muslim, we know we're going to be judged on the Day of Judgment. They're going to ask you. You're going to be asked a series of questions. What did you do with your life? How did you spend it? What did you do with your wealth? How did you use it? What did you do with your time? How did you waste it or benefit from it? So all of these will be asked of us on that Day of Judgment. So we our understanding of stewardship is extensive, and I'm not saying that as if to say that it's not extensive for any religion, but the understanding of that stewardship has to be a part of your fiber and being, and not just something that we do monetarily, from a monetary basis.
Okay. I want you to say what you said before. You said understanding of stewardship is expensive?
Extensive, meaning that it's not just a monetary thing. It's not just something that we do in regards to helping each other. It's something that we should do within every aspect being of our existence, meaning we have to be mindful of the earth and how we take care of it. We have to be mindful of our use of our resources and what we do with them. We have to be mindful of how we make our money and what we do with it. Our money should be honest. It should be something that we earned and worked for. You know, I'm thinking, because we had a conversation back and forth, and you said, what about stewardship and money?
Mm-hmm.
And say that, you know, for a Muslim, all of our money has to be, when we use the word halal, halal means clean, pure. You know, how you make it, what you spend it on. You know, the wealth that you have has to be earned honestly and then spent honestly. It has to be given in an honest fashion. You know, we're warned in the Quran that you know, our wealth, our children, our family are going to be a test for us, and that we have to disperse that trust, that wealth, in a way that will be pleasing to God, both in our actions now and when we stand before Him on the Day of Judgment. So even something as simple as interest, you know, you and I are always talking about finances and how the community. Let's just take interest. You know, as a Muslim, we're not allowed to collect interest or pay interest. And when we say interest, we're going to be specific. This is compounded. This is the interest that people charge you And it's not, put it like this. What we're talking about is if I lend you $10, I say,
right.
Brother, here, ten. You need $10. Here's $10. I can't charge you $15 to get it back. What am I? What's the $5 for? I'm not. You know. Now, if there was some kind of financial loss because of it, you know, and I need, you know, I gave you the $10, but it cost me $15 because I gave you the $10. That's something different. But just to charge you that extra money, that is for a Muslim a sin, because now I'm taking advantage of you. I'm taking advantage of you. I've given up that stewardship of brotherhood for you. I've given up that charge that I've been given to take care of you. There's a saying in Islam: you cannot truly believe until you want for your brother what you want for yourself.
Woo.
So, if I'm going to charge you more for something that, for just the pure sake of, you know what, I can do it, then how is that being a good steward? How am I being a good steward of my brother? How am I being a good steward of my money? So, you know, we, and you know, in this life, and you know, with all the different finances and so forth, it's kind of hard to stay away from those things. But you know, we have to think about it. The sister just talked about giving food, and then the brother was talking about he fed, you know, the one, you know, that. Think about this. I'll give everyone something to think about. Think about how much money we waste.
Mm-hmm.
In the course of a day, in the course of a week, in the course of a month. How many of us are sitting around with 3 and 4 TVs in our household? And
right.
There's two of us that live there. How many of us spend easily 15, 20, 30, even more on our vices during the week? If
right.
We just took the time out. Just simply this, like we said, we can't cure the whole 12%. But if we just all really sat down today and made a promise, not to no one but to God alone, that the $5 that I go and spend on whatever wasteful thing you spend it on, whatever it is, every week I'm going to give that $5 to someone who's hungry.
Hmm.
You know that in general, we could, if this was something that we put together in a serious, comprehensive package, if we chose to say, you know what, I'm going to close out these credit cards and pay them off because the hundreds and thousands of dollars I'm paying in interest, I could take that money and feed a family for every week, for a month.
What?
I'm going to take that $5 instead of going to, for those of you, I'm not against anyone who drinks or anything like that, but you, whatever you do that you waste the $5 on, if you took that $5 and every week you said, you know what, I'm going to go down to the homeless shelter around the corner, down the street, up the block, and I'm going to give that $5. You don't have to give the money. You know what? Go buy the sandwiches.
That's right.
Go buy the sandwiches. You know, I was laughing because the sister, both of them were talking about feeding his sister. So it's a homeless guy that I walk past every day. I'm going to Drexel, and he's actually gotten to know me now. So every morning he expects his breakfast. So when he sees me, he's like, you know, ham and cheese. And he'll go and say, I want a bacon and egg and cheese with mayonnaise. I said, I got you covered, you know. And then there were some days I'd just bring it from home. But the fact of the matter is, if we do this just in general, you know how many people would be able to eat?
Wow.
You know how much we could do just to save our communities, you know. And listen, I have a lot of people who are going to probably be mad at me about this, but I'm going to say it outright because you know how I am. If your place of worship, regardless of where it is, if your place of worship, and regardless of your religion, if your place of worship looks better than the community for which it sits in, there is a problem. It's a problem.
I think that was needed right there.
There is a problem, because if we are people of God, and if we believe that our duty to God on this earth is to worship Him and to take care of the charge that He's given us, and that is this earth and each other, there is no reason for any place of worship, regardless, again, of what you worship, there is no reason for any place of worship to look better than the community for which it sits, because the money is not going where it belongs. We can pray in the park if we have to. You can minister in the park if we have to. You can minister on a in a gym. The thing of it is we've gotten so caught up in the symbolism of things that we forget what our duty is. And I'll stop there, because if you keep me, I'll keep going for the next. It'll be another show. We didn't talk.
Well, you know, I'm a little Brother Feaster, because, you know, I sense Brother Feaster has something to say. And I'm going to just say this real quick. It's good that we're having this conversation. It's good that we're hearing another voice. Because I'll be honest with you, when I talk like that, there's some cats that don't want to hear from me, bro. That's reality. There's some Christian brothers and sisters that don't want to hear from me as a minister of the same faith. May not be the same denomination, or it may be. It's truth. My wife says all the time, the truth is the truth regardless of who says it. That homeless person that you pass on the way to work can speak some truth to you. Just because they're homeless doesn't mean that they can't speak truth. So we have
Absolutely.
To get past. We have to get past as people in society, and I'm trying to get away from categorizing a group of people. But let me just say it like this to make it bring it more home. We have to get past just what you said. If the place where we worship is doing better than the community where we sit, we got issues. And I'll add something to it. If you have 100 churches throughout your community and y'all all struggling, something is wrong. That means there's some community coming together that we need to be thinking about. And Brother Feaster, go ahead. Go ahead, bro.
I mean, I'm sitting here holding my mule, waiting my turn, but I tell you what, y'all hitting some man. So when my brother was talking, when he was talking about how, you know, the Quran is saying and how their religion is saying, he took what we're saying about stewardship and tied in a couple of things that I never even looked at. And I like that, you know, he expounded on it the way he expounded on it. When I look at stewardship, I'm looking at stewardship in a single event, a single situation, a single value, a single thing. For example, when I'm looking at stewardship over money, I'm looking at how I spend, how I save, what I do with my money. If I'm looking at stewardship with my family, I'm looking at how I'm a father, how I'm a husband, how I'm a leader, how I'm a mentor, how I'm a guide. If I'm looking at stewardship at work, I'm looking at how I am a leader. You know, but when he was talking, he tied in stewardship. And I wrote it down, money, emotion, and relationship all tie in together, and all we're doing is paying the bill. When you talked about the interest, you can't collect interest. Well, now you're tying into the relationship between you and the person that you got the money from. And I never made the connection with the stewardship like that. So that takes stewardship to a whole new thing. Now, not only am I a steward over my money, but I'm also a steward over our relationship. And based on our relationship, then I need to be mindful of what this money is going to do to you, for you, and why am I even doing this? Am I doing this for selfish gain? So there's so much more. The stewardship, they all tie in. They all connect. And then I wrote that down, if your place of worship looks better than the community, there's a problem. Oh, my gosh, because so we love our places of worship. We love them, and we want them to look so beautiful and so magnificent because it's the place where God dwells. It's the place where we meet God. The last time I checked, God is not concerned about the building. Yes, we want the place to look good. Yeah, we want this place to draw people in, and we want people to know that it is a place of worship. But, you know, if the place of worship is $200 million, but yet the community that it's in the highest house is $200,000, then you're right. There is a problem. That there is a problem. What's so special about that church that we're only spending not even 40 hours a weekend? What's so special about that church that we got to invest so much more in it than the home that I'm raising my family in, the home that I protect my family in, the home that I build my family in? You know, what's so special about it? What's so different about it? Everything I do in that church, I do that in my home and so much more. Yes, we should reverence the place. Yes, we should give honor to God in the place. But we shouldn't put – it should not exceed, you know, what we do. I mean, you're
okay,
trying to say something.
So check this out. Let me throw the jump in here on this one in. So the reality, the place of where we are as we're having this conversation is you as a Christian minister, Brother Saeed as a Muslim brother, I will say minister if I can. If that's not offensive to you, if it is, let me know, brother. You know I throw out stuff like that.
All right, that's fine, but you know what? I'm not going to go and take – I'm not going to take credit for something I'm not. I'm just a learned person who believes in sharing as best I can. So
I got you.
Just call me a brother in faith. That's all I can ask you for.
Okay. So we got the same thing from two different religions. We got two brothers that have the same thought process because it's what God is saying. This is how we need to be, he's saying, as a Muslim, you're saying as a Christian. Why can't we seem to come together on trying to make our communities better? I say there's not enough Brother Feaster and Brother Saeed sitting down at the table in our communities. Nobody in my community wants to have conversation with the Muslim. Not real conversation. Now, there's some reasons for that as well, just like with Christians. There's some people that don't want to come to church because of stuff that a Christian has done to them. There's some people that don't want to have anything to do with Christianity. I was on a show the other night. The young brother said, I don't want to really deal with the church. And I'm trying not to put words in his mouth, but that's the essence of what I was taking. This is not just for me. It's not for me right now is what he was saying. But that's based upon something he's seen or some experience that he has had in the past. And this brother's only like 20 years old. So there's reasons. So if we never sit down to the table and say, okay, well, tell me why. Tell me why not. And y'all have heard me say before, you haven't had the courage to care. If you don't care about it, if it's not important to you, you as a Christian, you're just going to do your Christian thing and just focus on the people that you want to focus on, then you can stay separate. But that's not, I would tell anybody out there, that's not God's plan. That's not how God operates. He didn't put us on this earth to be like that. Brother Saeed, you said one thing about the interest. And for any of the brothers and sisters that are listening, you know, you should be like, you know what, that's a good thing. And that's one of the things that I think about. I say, you know what we're talking about, if it's a good thing, it's a good thing. I don't have to accept the Quran, Saeed, for that not to be a good statement. You see what I'm saying?
No, I agree. I agree. You know, I was going to read something. I was reading this article, if you don't mind me to say something, but I was reading this article, and it was talking about the, you know, economic crisis. You know, we all know about the economic crisis in 2008, you know, when Obama took over, and there have been really all these different struggles. Well, one of the things that's part of the Islamic creed, and I should say, is that we don't deal in interest. We should not deal in interest. That is what we are charged with, not dealing in interest. We don't take economic risk where you put it basically, you're not gambling your money away. So one of the things this article had said was that if those practices, regardless if you believe in Islam or not, this is going back to your statement about believing as a Muslim or not, but if you don't take economic risk with your money, you don't gamble your money, and you don't charge or interest off of people that you have earned, the economic crisis, if people believe that in general, the economic crisis would not have happened. The article goes and says, She said, this is what the person says, that religious beliefs not limited to Islam can help leaders be more responsible in business. I quote, the belief in God and that absolute ownership of everything is solely his brings with it an acute level of responsibility and accountability based on the notion of stewardship, which is equally placed on each individual, given that all mankind is believed to be equal before God.
Wow.
It is to say that, I'm not going to say everyone on the phone, you're not going to all become Muslim tomorrow. I'm not going down that path. I'm not here to preach that. But what I am saying, that if we take the good from each other, stop worrying about what differences we have, but take the good and just start with simple things like don't gamble your money away. And when I say gamble, I'm not just talking about going to the slots or the casino. I'm talking about don't go and throw your money away on something that's going to be wasteful and not get a return on it. Don't go out and risk before you take care of your, you know that old saying, tie down your camel, tie down your horse before you go running out.
Yeah.
You know, and last, but look at the interest. You know, any financial wizard, regardless of if there, this has nothing to do with religion, just purely financial, they will tell you, being on a cash basis is always better than being on credit. Now, does that mean you don't want to build your credit up? No. I can sit down and talk with you about credit building as well if you want to go down a whole nother path. But that's not
that'd be another show.
That's not this show. But if you take the time to build your financial wealth based on cash, you remove the interest that you pay out of it. Because it's not benefiting no one but the credit cards or whoever you're getting it from. Trust me, it's not benefiting no one. If you can do that, the amount of money that you save as an individual will help your family and take care of your finances 1,000 times better. As a community, and this is stewardship here, if we reinvest the amount of money that we waste on interest alone, we could cure that 12%. That you talked about in Fayetteville, the need to feed hungry children in this country alone would be cut down in half. You can do the math. If we made a conscious effort to start reinvesting our money, being good steward over our money, not just in our own finances, but as we look at it for the community, then those buildings in the community. The community grows as our religious buildings grow. The families grow as our, and then we can have that honest dialogue. But until we are starting to really sit down, the listeners on this radio show, you and I, when I come down to Atlanta in a week, you know, or 2 weeks, you know, having this conversation, you know, getting some brothers and sisters together, regardless of their religious background, and having them sit down and say, okay, how can we start helping these people become financially independent and talk to them about better ways of doing it? Then our stewardship not only just goes beyond our own finances. Now we become our brother's keepers. Now we become our sister's keepers. Now we help make an impact which goes beyond just our own particular religious beliefs, but it helps the community at large. We're not doing enough of that. And I'm going to be honest with you. I know this is not a black or white show, but this is out there for anyone who is of color. We don't invest in our own social capital. And I don't mean economic capital. I'm talking about social capital. And when I use that word social capital, I'm talking about taking the time to realize the wealth of knowledge and spiritual connectedness that we have within our communities, making sure that our people, our brothers, our sisters, our children, our mothers, our fathers, understand how to better live their lives. That is stewardship to me as a Muslim and as an individual, making sure that I go beyond the moment and realize that my family can only survive if the family next to me survives. My well-being as an African-American male is tied to the well-being of all African-American males. My well-being as a father is tied to how good of a father am I going to be to my daughter, but what kind of man am I being representing to the children that come across my path? That is stewardship beyond what we're talking. That's the real stewardship that God sent to us. You know, are we wasting water? You know, Chris Rock made a comment on one of his stand-ups and talking about, you know, we pay for water. We pay for water. So that means the water that comes out of our sinks is only good for washing our, you can fill in the blank. But think about that. We can't drink regular water?
Wow. I'm guilty too, bro. I'm guilty.
Oh, I'm not going to listen. I'm not arguing with you. Not saying that I ain't got a filter on my sink too. Oh, and in the refrigerator, and I got a bottle case of water. But the fact of the matter is, you think about that. That's $5. In some cases, if you're buying real good water, that's $10,
$15. You know what? A case of water, you spend for $5, but my water bill is $12 a month.
And you think about that. You could go, I mean, I don't know what kind of water comes out your pipe, so I'm not going to go and make any kind of assumptions. But let's just assume in most places in the United States, water that comes out of your pipes are safe to drink. Put some ice in it, swish it around, it tastes like anything else. But in reality, you think about that. That $12, and I'm not saying you're going to do it today or tomorrow, but just think about it. That $12 could feed somebody.
Yeah.
Hey, it's out there in front of us. What we do with it, you know, that's up to each individual. But I just wanted to put it out there.
Man, let me tell you. You know what? I think I know this is one of the reasons why God really put this on my heart several years ago, and it just manifested into this particular radio show after, you know, getting acclimated back in 2011 and up until present day, you know, of doing a radio show. We have to make changes. When people speak and we know, I mean, come on, let's be honest. What you just said, for me to just recognize automatically, bam, my water bill like $12 a month, but then I'll spend water that I'm buying from somebody that I don't know anything about. I don't know what process that water goes through that's in the bottles. And if it's any different than the process of the water that's coming through the pipes in my sink. But I'm spending more because somehow we've been brainwashed that water is better. That's the reality, because nobody really knows. We've been brainwashed that the water is better. I remember going to a restaurant in Atlanta one time, and when they brought me a bottle of water, the bottle of water was $12 by itself. For me and another person to share, me and my brother, matter of fact. $12 just for the bottle of water, and it wasn't a big bottle. I was like, I probably wouldn't do that back at home. But I took advantage of it because I was there and it was offered. So I think one of the things we just have to realize is if we're really gonna be serious about this, I'm gonna go to the caller from last week. The caller from last week hit on there's 20% poverty in the United States for our children. 20% of the children in the United States are living in poverty. And he said to us, which got me, Brother Feaster, Sister Sanders, and whoever else was listening to really say, he said, if we're not addressing that problem, then we're just talking. Shows like this is just nothing but talk. And I was like, you know what? I mean, it caused us to take a step back, just like your comment, Brother Saeed, about the water. So I hope that God is speaking to all of us out there in some way to help us to be able to see that our stewardship is so critically important in how we do and what we do with what God has provided to us. Even the small things, it truly, truly matters. I got one real quick comment. Let me read something out of Deuteronomy 23:20. And I'm reading this because I think it's necessary for those who are coming from a Christian thought and don't want to receive what Brother Saeed is saying that comes from his, what God has given through him. Deuteronomy 23:20 says, don't charge interest to your kinsmen on any loan, not for money or food or clothing or anything else that can earn interest.
I'm done. Sister Sanders, you had something you wanted to say?
Yes. I'm here. I just, you know, just really listening and just taking in what Brother Saeed was saying. And all I can say is the more you keep living, the more you grow and the more you learn. And a lot of what he was saying, all I can see was just like that the struggle for power and how that has entered into the heart of people who say that we love God, the struggle for power, the struggle to prove ourselves, to prove ourselves worthy, the struggle to show our success. And if anybody that has struggled in this world, I can say that, you know, as a race, as African Americans, as blacks, as colors, as Negroes, we have struggled. We have struggled through slavery. We have struggled through the civil rights. We have struggled through segregation. And yet we find ourselves still struggling to put food on our table. We find ourselves struggling to help our fellow brother or sister who is in need. And when I think about that struggle, you know, just for to have that power, I look at, you know, what everybody has said, and I look at our society, I look at our news and how what we televise on TV, the different shows that are written and created. It seems like the struggle for power continues to outweigh the fact of us wanting to meet the needs and help somebody else. And I really like what Brother Saeed said about the interest. And I started looking up the word interest because I wanted to see if there was another definition that went outside of just interest on money. And when I looked up, it was saying that the interest is a participation and advantage and responsibility. And so it's even the word interest, as it's not related to finances, still ties back to stewardship. It still ties back to how we manage and what our responsibility is in our society. So as we find ourselves or as we can think of somebody or know somebody who is struggling for power, whether it be in the church, whether it be in our community, whether it be, you know, the senators or congressmen and women, our mayors or whoever it is that is in a position to influence and impact for the greater good, but yet they find themselves struggling to prove who they are, to prove that they are worthy to be in the position that they're in, we still lose a sense of who we are, all for the sake of struggling, all for the sake of making ourselves a good name. But we still have people day in and day out that are dying of poverty, that can't afford to pay their bills, that are still having to depend on the welfare system to give them what they need. But yet we have the means to do it, even if it's just a little bit. If we would put it together, it's tremendous on how it would be able to bless so many other people. And the other part that I wanted to tie into that is I listened to Joe Madison. He comes on Sirius XM. On channel 128, and I would just really encourage if anybody has the opportunity to listen to his station, a couple of words that he says that just really ring a bell to me is marginalized, how we look at issues as being unimportant until it happens to us. And what I see is in our society when it comes to our stewardship, we marginalize our stewardship. If it's not happening to me, then I'm really not that concerned. I can talk about it because I see it happening to somebody else, but because it's not in my front door, then there's really no need for me to do anything about it. And then he also talks about being culturally conditioned, and you said something so key when you was talking about the bottle of water. We are so culturally conditioned to believe so many things that is a form of deception, that is a form of lying, and we have been so culturally conditioned to where our own self-interests are more important than meeting the need of a fellow brother or sister. Our own self-interest in of trying to prove who we are and that we are somebody and that we've arrived and we've made it has become more of a race, more of important to us than helping somebody who's really in need. And so when we talk about being a steward, we talk about being a manager. I was just even thinking back on earlier this week how we don't even use the word stewards anymore when it comes to flight attendants. And I said, what an awesome job they had, you know, and how we will change words up to basically to make it derogatory. But they were stewards. They were managing. They were being of assistance to people. But we begin to look at things, and as time goes on, words that have meaning begin to lose the meaning because we begin to tie other things to it. Oh, I can't be a steward because we don't understand it. So we become culturally conditioned, and we begin to marginalize what's going on in our communities, what's going on in our own lives, that we can't impact anybody because of our struggle for power. And I just wanted to just share those, you know, just based off of what everybody was saying, and definitely what Brother Saeed was saying. I mean, just really speaking truth to us so that we can get past our own selfish needs and desires and actually be able to impact the world and impact the kingdom of God for the better good.
Hey, I don't know what time we're ending, but I wanted to get...
Let's keep going.
All right, I want to say this is in the second surah, verse 17, or the second chapter of the Quran, and this is the verse 117. It is not righteous that you turn your faces toward east or west, but it is righteous to believe in God in the last day, and the angels, and the book, and the messengers, to spend your substance out of love for him, for your kin, for orphans, for the needy, for the wayfarer, for those who ask, and for the ransom of slaves, to be steadfast in prayer, to practice regular charity, to fulfill the contracts which you have made, to be firm and patient in pain or in suffering and adversity, and throughout all periods of panic. Such are the people of truth, the God-fearing. That's about the best I can say.
And you know what? And you know what the Bible says? This is in the book of James. True religion is taking care of the widows and orphans. True religion. You know, it's amazing how if we ever just take the opportunity to just hear from what we call, quote unquote, the other, we will really get an understanding, as I hope and pray that everybody is doing this evening, that there are more similarities that we have, even among religious lines, than we do differences. Let's be honest. Within Christianity, I go to a Baptist church. I don't say that like, you know, that's a very good thing or a great thing. That's just where God has me at. But how many different Baptist denominations are there? And how many people don't even associate with one another within Christianity because of denomination with the same title, like AME, African Methodist, or United Methodist, or Southern Baptist, or National Baptist, American Baptist. So if we can't do that, and this is to my Christian brothers and sisters, if we can't do that as Christians, what we're doing tonight on this show is not for you. I'm sorry, it's not for you. But we have to start somewhere, and I just believe God is waiting on more of us to do what we're doing tonight as far as having these type of conversations, because when we go back and replay this show, which we always do, once we do that and we just hear what everybody is saying this evening, it should spark something within you to be able to say, I can make a change, I can make a difference. Brother Feaster, I remember when we were talking about the show, there was something that you said about, you know, oh my goodness, we had this type of conversation with a Muslim, and I'm just throwing it out there loosely. It may challenge some people. It may make some people mad. And, you know, my response is, that's okay. That's okay. We don't want people to get mad, but I'm saying that's okay, that something should spark inside of you. That anger or that being mad is really no more than something not being right with your thinking. Something not being right with your thought process, that you will not want to have a conversation about the same issues that's affecting all of our communities. This is not a north-south thing. This is not west side versus the south side. It affects everybody. So if the south side of your city, and y'all know I was on this kick a couple weeks ago, if the south side of your city is jacked up, your whole city is jacked up. If the west side of Philadelphia is living beyond below the poverty line, I don't care what the other side of the city looks like. The city of Philadelphia has some issues. And you can say the same thing for yours as well. But Afisa, you had something else. Who was it? I don't know. Whichever one of y'all wanted to talk, y'all just go ahead.
It was me. I'm sitting here. I'm just reading what I wrote. I wrote down, how does selfishness affect our stewardship? Because that's what I heard out of the last over 10 minutes of dialogue that we was just having. If we would get away from selfishness, then I think our stewardship will be so much better. And like you said, we can deal with the 20% child poverty in America. We can deal with the 50% homelessness here at Fayetteville. But I'm too busy, you know, living in my $200,000 house with my gas guzzler SUV and my, you know, a luxury car that I only drive on Sundays to church and back. And, you know, when I take, you know, go someplace special, you know, how does our selfishness affect? I mean, we look at the government and how I was watching the news today, and they're cutting. They took over $1 million out of a after school program. So now, you know, the people that can't afford to work, where they work different hours, so they was getting subsidized so they could get daycare before and after work so that they can work. So we hear about all these programs now. We keep saying the children are our future. We hear about all these programs because of the budget cuts. We hear about all these programs getting cut. It's our youth that's getting cut. It's our education that's getting cut. But not one congressman has got up and said they're willing to take a budget cut. Not one government official said that they're willing to come out of the government mansion that our tax dollars pay and buy a house to help with the budget cut. Granted, I got it. There's some prestige that come with the position. I got that. I understand that. But if we're in a financial crunch, well, we haven't even talked about it. It hadn't even came up about sacrifice when you talk about stewardship. You can't
But you know what, Brother Feast? It ain't about the government. It's about what we do. He said that if we took that $5 that we waste, then guess what? We don't have to run to the government. And I'm not jumping on a bandwagon because that will help some of those individuals in certain parties, you know, that are anti-government. I'm not even jumping on your bandwagon. I'm just saying, like we said last week, we have to be the type of individuals, as men and women of God, that know that God has put us on this earth to take care of it, that know that God has put us on this earth to take care of one another, that we say we're going to make the change. Because the reality is this, and I got a master's of public administration. When something happens in Washington, when something happens in your city dealing with money and finance, it don't get down to the people that quick. We just had in the city close by where I live, a new city council, a new mayor was elected. And guess what happens? All they're doing is working off of what the last administration did. And guess what? It happens in every cycle of government. So we can either say, enough is enough. I ain't got time for this foolishness. Let me stop pointing fingers. And let me say, what is it that I need to be doing? What is it that I need to be doing? And let's look at our community. That's one thing I really pride myself on, you know, constantly saying, let's look at our community, because there's too many people, there's too many pundits, there's too many radio shows and TV shows that are talking about people that they ain't going to never see, never have a conversation with. But what about the people that you do see and that you do have and are able to have a conversation with? I tell people all the time, and I said it in church as well, if you're not willing to go to a city council meeting, if you can, if you're not willing to have a conversation with your state representatives, if you can, which everybody can, you can do it through some medium, but you may not be able to go to a meeting in the day if you have a job. If you're not willing to take those type of stands,
why are they going to listen to you?
And that goes back to the sacrifice I'm talking about. That's exactly where I was going, the sacrifice. We're not willing, and I'm going to say I'm not willing to sacrifice a lot of stuff on it. Now, I mean, I have, you know, I bought, you know, when people ask to borrow money, the first thing I tell them is I got to take care of my vices. I'm not going to take care of yours. I'll help you if how much do I have to sacrifice is what's running through the back of my mind. How much do I have to sacrifice? How much? Granted, I'm looking at it from a stewardship perspective also is I'm being a good steward over what I do, but then how are you being a good steward that, or how are you not being a good steward and you need to borrow money? Is it just that, you know, like there's something on Facebook that I think is very interesting. You know, you're in the unemployment line with a coach bag, your nails done, your eyebrows arched, and you got on the latest designer. And that's my point. How are you being a steward? How are you being a steward?
Hold on. That's not fair, though. There's some people, what if somebody blessed them with that? See, once we get into this moment of judging or being judgmental, then all bets are off. We lose it. We lose that connection with God because that's not our place. So if I see you, if you constantly come to me talking about, look, I need some help, in my mindset, if I'm thinking that you ain't taking care of your money, that's not the right attitude. Well, hold on. You got this nice fancy car, but you always talking about you broke. That doesn't mean that that person may not be a good steward over their resources, over their finances. Maybe something happened. But let's do what we're really trying to focus on with this show. What are you willing to do? What am I willing to do to help that individual? So, okay, yeah, I may be able to help you, but what's going on? That goes back to that courage enough to care. If I'm not willing to have the conversation with you, regardless of your religious preference or not, to see and find out, hey, what's going on? Hey, can I help you? Can I point you to another, to a resource to help you so that this situation doesn't happen again? Then we'll constantly, people will constantly be in a state of judgment.
But, Nate, I want to...
Go ahead.
What I want to just add to that, I know on last week, I know my phone was kind of jacked up, you know, where I was at. But one of the things that I was saying on last week was that if we are not able to teach, we can see people in a certain state. I know people personally who have had to get loan after loan after payday loan because they weren't managing their money right. I've sat down with them and said, hey, I want to share with you what I've learned from taking a financial peek. Let's sit down and let's go over a budget. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to send you the budget that we received from the class. Not even thinking about charging nobody for nothing, but I just want to impart the knowledge that I've learned. And so the question I want to pose to those that are listening and also to us is, are we taking the knowledge that we have and imparting it and sharing with others? Because until we do that, we cannot expect for change to happen. Until we sacrifice, and I think that sacrifice, I talked about sacrifices a couple of shows ago in the aspect of giving something that we know we can't afford to give, but I want to talk about sacrifice in a positive, optimistic aspect of saying, are we willing to sacrifice 30 minutes of our time to say, instead of watching my favorite TV show, I'm going to take 30 minutes of my time and spend with somebody who I know who keeps asking me for money because apparently they're missing something. And if we will all be honest with ourselves, maybe the example that we saw growing up in our homes wasn't the best as far as how we manage our finances. Maybe it wasn't the best of how we manage our time. Maybe we grew up in homes where watching TV was the thing to do. Maybe we grew up in homes where we didn't eat at the dinner table. Maybe we grew up in homes where, you know, we didn't know if the light bill was going, if the lights was going to get cut off, or we was going to have to put the phone bill and little JoJo's name and get the cable bill and Christina's name. Maybe that's how some of us grew up. But since we are grown now and we have come into the knowledge, the revelation knowledge of what right looks like, let's take that knowledge that we have, regardless of how little or small or insignificant we think that it is, and begin to teach. My pastor used to say, unless you are duplicating who you are, duplicating your efforts, duplicating what you have learned and imparting it to somebody else, you have not been an effective leader. So if wherever we go, we get the opportunity to teach somebody what we've learned, I promise you,
You will plant a seed. You may not ever live to see that seed grow, but the word of God tells us that the seed can be planted. It says that God says that he will water it and he will multiply that seed. And so we have a duty. We have an obligation to sacrifice our time. If it means staying at work 30 minutes to talk to one of our coworkers who we see struggling, if it means, you know, confronting that family member or that neighbor or close friend of ours and saying, hey, I see that you keep struggling with your money. Let me show you how to budget. Sometimes we have to be willing to sacrifice and confront and not always enable. Sometimes we may have to intervene instead of always giving. And because the old proverb, it says, you know, you can give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day, but if you teach him how to fish, he'll eat for the rest of his life. And so if we are challenging ourselves to sacrifice our time, our resources, our talents to give to somebody who may not have it, even if they don't receive it right then and there, I believe in my heart that a seed will be planted. Just like how they talked about in Acts when those men and women begin to gather all of their goods together. A lot of them were ostracized and they were ridiculed and they had to leave their towns because they became believers of God. But they put their stuff together to say, if somebody comes here who has a need and they don't have anything, we can take care of them. It's that mindset that we have to carry with us each and every day. And if we are not going to do that, then everything that we're talking about right now is pretty much in vain. So it's going to take us to sacrifice our time, our talent, and our resources in order to reach somebody. And we keep on talking and teaching, because if we don't impact but one person, that's one person in the world who's now better off than if we sit back and do absolutely nothing.
It's funny because I was your comments, actually, it's something I've developed over the I've been working with youth for a long time now, and I have a couple of things. I have a tag in my emails that says equal opportunity is only equal when everyone has equal resources. And you know, I say to the kids all the time, I say, you know, they say to me, well, Mr. Sai, what's going to be your happiest moment? You know, they always ask me something like, you know, what's you most proud of, or what's going to be your happiest moment, and so forth. And I say to them, my happiest moment is the day that I see one of you standing on some public stage somewhere, and you say, you know, if it wasn't for the fact that I met this man named Saeed, whatever you may call me at that time, I wouldn't be here today. It is that giving that is the reason why I'm on this show right now. It's the reason why I work with youth all my life, and it's like why I continue to do what I do. It's because I do believe in what is what I said to you. I said to the audience earlier and to everyone is that it's not just about what we do in regards to our giving. It's a holistic thing. It's our giving of our time, as the young lady eloquently said. It's the giving ourselves that's the true stewardship that we should be talking about. And it's not just about money, and it's not just about the earth, and it's not just about religion. It's not just, but it is that holistic thing. I have to go this way only because, and this is not, again, not to go and promote Islam over anything else, but it is the reason why I became a Muslim.
And
it is because through all of my studying of the Bible, of the books of religion from both historical perspectives and other ways, it was the one thing that touched me from a holistic standpoint. Everything I have to do, from the moment I wake to the time I sleep, I have to be in a constant state of worship. That nothing I can do will benefit me more than what I do for those that are around me. You know, I was reading a hadith, and if for those of you who may not know what a hadith is, for a Muslim, there's two sources of information that we rely on most. The first and overriding is the Quran, Brother Nate had mentioned, but it's the Quran. That's the first and final source. And then the second source is the sayings of the prophets. particularly the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, you know, and then we add all the other books and so forth, because just as a state, we believe in all of the books, regardless of the religion of it. We believe in the Bible, and we believe in the Torah, and we believe in the Psalms of David, all of the books, but for us, primarily right now, the Quran and the sayings of the Prophet are what we hold as our guide. And it, I just saw something that I was reading, and it's one of the sayings from the Prophet, peace be upon him, is three things destroy and three things save. As for the three things that destroy, they are greediness that is obeyed, desires that are followed, and a person becoming self-conceited and proud of himself. And for the three things that save, they are fear of God in secret and in public, moderation in poverty and richness, and fairness in anger and pleasure. And I was listening to the sister speak, and I was listening and I was reading this, and I was like, you know, that is, she's speaking of the embodiment of what we should all be striving for. It's not just about what we give. You know, great, you can give $5. You know, we can give the $12 you spend on the water. We can do all those different things. But if we're not willing to sit down and talk to someone, then you know what? They are going to keep coming back and asking us for money.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't sit down and we don't, as you said, Nate, don't judge, then they are going to come back, and they're going, and we're going to continue with the selfishness, because we're human. We're going to judge. We don't know how not to judge. We're human. It is who we are. But we can overcome that by remembering that we are just one paycheck, one accident,
mm-hmm.
one trip and fall, one mm-hmm. closing of a business,
mm-hmm.
one car accident, one anything from being in the same position that they are in. We could wake up tomorrow and we don't have a home to go to. We could walk down the street and next thing you know, we don't have a job to go to. Worse, we could not wake up. The reality are, we are just one incident, one snap of a finger, one blink of an eye, one moment away from being in the same position as those we look down on, or we don't help, or we judge. So we have to remember that to be humble is to first realize that no matter where I sit at the table, if it's at the head or at the foot, if I sit in the back room or the front, I'm no better than the persons that are around me. So if I set in my being, then we all can become, we can put into practice what the young lady eloquently said, and that is taking our time out to give to others. And I don't like, again, we could probably talk forever, but I'm going to close my part at least on saying that I want to thank everyone for the opportunity for talking, giving me the opportunity to talk and the opportunity to share the tidbits of Islam that I care so dearly about. I'm hoping that I'm putting it out there for everyone. Please, I'm willing to talk to anyone about
mm-hmm.
both how to become better. You can give them my email. As a matter of fact, I'll put it out there for everyone to hear. Write it down. It's S as in Sam, A as in Apple, B as in Boy, D as in David, U as in Uncle, L as in Larry, 66@live.com. Email me if you want someone to help you with your finances, to give you advice on that. If you're interested in anything I've said, feel free, email me. I will respond. God as my witness, I will respond. You can ask me any questions that you want. You can ask me to help you how to do, you know, get better, you know, get your finances in order. You can help me. I will help you get your children into college if that's what you want. You just have to ask. I'm putting it out there because if we're not willing to come to the table wholeheartedly, then we're not doing anything but lip service. So I'm putting it out there for the world. I don't know how many listeners you got, so I might get a million emails. But guess what? I will answer every one of them if God gives me the power. So I want to thank you all for the opportunity. I really do have to get some schoolwork done.
So all right.
I got a bunch of papers to grade, and so I want to thank you for the opportunity, for allowing me to speak. Again, I'll say anything that I've said that is wrong, it is truly from my own shortcomings. And anything that I've said that it blesses or help anyone is truly by the power of God and God alone. I thank everyone for the opportunity, but most importantly, I thank God for allowing me the ability to speak to you. May he forgive me for my shortcomings and my sins, and may he bless me for my intentions. May he bless all of you, and inshallah, God willing, I'll have a chance to speak to everyone at a different time. Assalamu alaikum, which is peace be upon you, and God bless everybody.
All right, brothers. Appreciate it. Love you, man.
Love you, too.
All right. Well, we got about 10 minutes left in the show, and let me just tell you, I know my heart feels good. I know that there's a lot of people that are going to be blessed by this show. Let me tell you something that I was going to do at the end of feasting. Because I know people, one of the things that I was considering doing was laying some ground rules at the beginning of the show. And I think that because of the spirit that was already among us, the four of us, as we, you know, got together a few minutes before the show, I didn't even feel the necessary or the need to actually do it. And let me tell you what the ground rules were going to be. And I'm going to read it because this is coming down to the last 10 minutes of the show. So this is for those who have to jump off. Three things that I think is really, really good. And I think we'll go ahead and get these posted on the PRF page as well. And if there's anybody that's on the line, we have callers that are still on the line. If you have a comment that you would like to make, you know, by all means, just press one and we'll get you in. You know, one thing is, the first thing I would say is the ground rules for, you know, effective communication and trying to live in community with one another. One is take the time to listen. And so we thank all the listeners that are out there, all those who are listening via the archives, those who come in and sit down at the table with us, even if they're quiet every single week. Take the time to listen. The second thing is, have the wisdom to respond versus react. You know, a lot of times people react to things versus respond. And reactions are not a thing of wisdom, but responses are a thing of wisdom. And the third thing is, have the courage to act. You heard something tonight. You heard the heart of Saeed. You heard the heart of Sister Sanders, Brother Feaster, myself, which, you know, you hear week after week. Have the courage to act. If something that was said is piercing your heart, piercing your spirit, God is speaking to you. You don't know that it's God speaking to you. You just know, you know what, I need to do something different. By all means, please, have the courage to act. And we just pray that God will give you that, regardless of what faith tradition you're in, regardless of where you're at in your life, if you feel like you're up, if you feel like you're down. That's my prayer for you. So, Sister Sanders, we're going to let you just go ahead and take a minute just to give a closing comment and have something for us as we close out the show.
Brother Nate, I just want to say I'm just encouraged to keep improving as a person, to keep doing what I'm doing, and like I said, to keep improving by sharing with others, by growing, and like you said, that wisdom, gaining the wisdom and being willing to not hold on to it because it's not going to do me any good, but to plant a seed. And to be a blessing to somebody else. And if we can't do anything else, I think that's something that we can do and do it well. And that's the only thing that I want to say. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for, you know, just helping out and letting God use you the way he does. Brother Feaster, you got a minute? You want to go ahead and say something? I know it's going to be hard for you, brother, but try to do your best.
I'm going to try to hold it down to a minute. I want to say this first. I may have sound very judgmental, but in what I was saying, but I was not intending to be judgmental. I was looking at it from I have a thing of, you know, most people can't see the forest for the trees. Well, I can't see the trees for the forest. I see big as opposed to small, and I was looking at it outside of me. So But anyway, the thing that really stood out for me very close to the end of the show is how much sacrifice is involved in stewardship. And I think it stood out to me how much sacrifice is involved in stewardship. We have to be willing to sacrifice. We have to. If I'm not willing to sacrifice, then I am being a steward, but I am not being a good steward. You know, like we said last week, you know, there are many managers out there, but not all of them are good. And if I'm not willing to sacrifice, and that's one thing I realized tonight, that sacrifice is involved in stewardship. It is. And I'm going to stop right there before I continue on.
Well, brothers and sisters, we thank you so much. We really appreciate all those who have stuck with us through almost an hour and a half. And I tell everybody, you know, the show is not an hour and a half show. It just goes that route. And we just go ahead and roll with it. We let people get what they need to get out, take what they need to take in, so that they can make some changes in their life. So as we conclude the show, please go to our Facebook page. It's called possessions.resources.finances. If you will, please like our page. We've been posting comments all throughout the show. Let's continue inside the dialogue. Let's continue this conversation as the show goes off the air and throughout the week. And we're just going to see what God has for us next week as we come back to the PRF table at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm Brother Dunlap, your host. What we're going to do as we close out, I have a song that I'm going to play, which is called Change is Going to Come. And I think that's the word that I've heard so much and frequently throughout this show tonight. Change is going to come. So listen to this as we close out the show. God bless you, and we pray that we will be back with you and you will be back with us again next week.
And I know change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. Now, it's not where you're gonna be. Hold your head up.